This interview was produced for Red Eye, a 3-hour current affairs program on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
What image do you see in your mind if I say the word puppet? Maybe a wooden figure dancing on strings or an object made of cloth that you can wear like a glove. Some of you may think of an intricate paper cutout mounted on a stick, or maybe even a gigantic papier-mâché figure representing the evils of empire. What you think will depend on where you're from and how old you are. Puppets have been around for a long time and are found in cultures all over the world. Diana Jeffries is a big fan of puppets. She studied theatre in Montreal and puppetry in London. She founded a puppet theatre company in Vancouver last year. Their premiere production opens in 6 days. Diana Jeffries joins me in the studio this morning. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning.
Is there something that all kinds of puppets I mentioned have in common?
Yeah, I think they do. I think that generally all puppets in some ways are very good storytellers, and they can sort of speak to all sorts of people across all cultures. So I think that generally they kind of connect with us in some way.
So what's the actual universal appeal of them?
Well, I think partly that because they have a good ability to tell a story, and so everyone somehow seems to be drawn to puppets in some way. And they're also that much different than people or actors actually telling, you know, performing, that makes them unique and special.
So how are they different than people? I suppose they don't have the same limitations.
Yeah, they don't, exactly, and that makes them wonderful performers. They can leap tall buildings, and they can be, you know, enormously big and tall, and they can be tiny and small, and they can fly and do all sorts of things that people can't do. So, their range is much greater.
And do they make a special sort of storyteller?
I think they are, because there's some sort of innocence about them and a kind of purity that we are drawn to, I think, in terms of puppets. And their ability to tell stories is unique and different. I think that many people in an audience, whether they're children or adults, they just like to look at puppets. And that their appeal to something within ourselves is something special. It's not the same as an actor telling a story. And their also unique movements draw us towards them.
So what is it that actually makes an object a puppet?
Well, anything really can be a puppet, whether it's I don't know. You could say, for example, a feather duster, and how you turn a feather duster in a way might make it into something sort of royal and princely. So a feather duster can turn into a prince, for example. So any kind of object that we use can be turned into a puppet and used. And we do it all the time. I mean, children do it easily. As adults, it becomes a bit more difficult as we draw away from that kind of imagination.
It's interesting when you say that. I'm reminded that the way they're very non-literal, and do they feed, you know, do they force us into taking an active part more than more literal media?
Yeah, I think that they demand more of an audience to submit to the illusion that they are a living creature, that they are something that we are that's something that we have to use our imagination with. So unlike other mediums like television or film, they are able to get closer to us, I think, in a way, because they don't have this screen, and they are different as well. They are not people. So,
to someone outside of the circles, it would seem like there's a lot of similarities between a puppet and a doll, but you make a distinction?
Definitely. I mean, dolls are, I mean, people often, sometimes they people will call puppets dolls, but in fact, I think dolls is something that we don't necessarily identify with as something that's really living. Whereas a puppet has a kind of soul to it. They're not perfect, like not manufactured in the same way. They're made from cloth and paper and wood, and they're not toys or anything that you can actually use and cuddle or something like that. So they must perform. And I think that they have a kind of soul, that unlike a doll where it's manufactured and might be perfect, and puppets aren't perfect. I mean, well, the puppets that I make aren't anyway, but they are. They do have a soul, I think, and that is what makes them special. And dolls don't have that in the same way. They are manufactured, made in factories, that kind of thing. Whereas you put cloth and wood and paper mache together, and suddenly you've got something that becomes alive when a person moves it.
What are some of the kinds of small puppets we might be most familiar with here in Canada?
Well, I think that in terms of like Jim Henson sort of Muppet puppets, which were it's kind of become a little bit passé now in the puppet world. People, when the Muppets came out, and they are fantastic, they're much more they're rod puppets, but they're sort of cartoony and that kind of thing, rather than what we are now, what a lot of puppeteers are now interested in, which are sort of more marionette style or more not quite so fluffy and cute kind of thing. But those are probably, for North Americans anyway, what people here are more used to is the Muppets and that kind of
So is there any link between puppetry in North America and the First Nations puppetry? Like, is there a tradition there?
I'm not sure if there's a tradition in terms of puppetry, but there certainly is with masks and that kind of thing. So with performing First Nations performances using masks, and it's got very, very similar ideas behind it with puppets and masks.
Now, we often see large puppets in demonstrations and rallies these days. What are the roots of these?
It's kind of interesting, actually, because there's a very famous and large puppet company called Bread and Puppet in the United States, which are very famous for their huge, enormous puppets that they perform with all over for basically in anti-globalization rallies and demonstrations. And I think that the thing with these huge puppets that are used in demonstrations, they're incredibly special, and partly because they're incredibly spectacular, and people like to look at them and watch them. So, unlike just in your average demonstration where people are carrying signs and that kind of thing, I mean, we've all seen that. But when you see a huge puppet out there, the feeling is much greater than you could put into a word.
Oh, absolutely. Like, do they have historical roots, the carrying of large
puppets? They do in this past century, certainly. In the 1930s in Paris, people were demonstrating in favor of sort of communist movements and that kind of thing to Bread and Puppets, which started in the 60s as a protest movement against the Vietnam War, and they continue today. And it's interesting because they have this this incredible force, I think, that in sort of anti-globalization rallies in for example, in Seattle or wherever, where huge puppets were used, and they were such a spectacle, and that's how people remember those demonstrations and those rallies, because of the participatory nature of using puppets and people being gathered in and holding these big rods that carry the puppets.
Maybe you can describe one of these large puppets for us, these very large ones.
I've seen lots of pictures of them, certainly through Bread and Puppet, they have so many. I've seen one of a woman who, it was just like, basically, it was almost like a mask, but it was a face of, a head of a woman and her painful expression, and it was an anti-war puppet, and it was incredibly moving because of her expression was what a lot of people were feeling in that demonstration.
So what kind of puppets are you using in your upcoming production?
These ones are tabletop and rod puppets, and they're made of wood mostly, and some paper mache and clay. They are performed somewhat like marionettes but without the strings. So it's called black theater, where the puppeteers are completely covered in black, and with lighting we can hide behind the stage, which is basically a high table that we use, and then the set, we hide behind the set and that kind of thing. So you hopefully will only see the puppets.
And will there be a lot of puppets? Or
yeah, in this show there's 11. There's 11 different puppets.
Is that what you talk about, a cast of puppets? Or yeah. Do you talk about the cast of puppeteers?
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's as the puppeteer, you become one with the puppet. So I don't know if it's the puppet that's performing or the puppeteer, but both are.
So now, some puppet shows are very political and aimed at adults, and others are for children. Who are you targeting your show at? What's it about?
Well, this show is written by Sanya Garrick, who's also performing in it. And it's a sort of more traditional fairy tale idea. It's about two boys who are looking for a silver branch in a forest, and they come across different creatures that help and hinder their search. And it is generally for children, but I think a lot of adults would enjoy it. There's some funny adult humor kind of thing. So hopefully we're targeting everybody to come and see it. And because it's something new and different for Vancouver, I mean, I think I'm hoping that it will start something that we can do it over and over again, you know, just different types of shows. So this is our first one, but we hope for many more.
It sounds fantastic. Yeah. It sounds like it would definitely be a huge contribution to the cultural
depth
of Vancouver.
I hope so. I mean, it's I worked for a while in London at the Little Angel Theatre, which is famous for their marionettes and sort of more traditional style puppetry, and they also do rod puppets and tabletop puppets. And there, I learned so much from them, and I think that generally it just brings such a great wealth to the culture and artistic community of Vancouver, which hasn't had a great history of puppetry at all. So it's something new and different. And at the same time, because it's new to Vancouver, we have it open. We don't have to follow any one tradition of puppetry. We can try it all, kind of thing.
Well, that's a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, thanks very much for coming in and talking with me about it this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Diana Jeffries. She founded Flexible Theatre last summer. Their premiere production is called The Silver Branch, as she was saying, and it's written by Sanya Garrick. It's playing for 3 days next week at 260 Terminal Avenue, and that's just opposite the Main Street SkyTrain station. There are evening performances on Friday and Saturday, matinees on Saturday and Sunday, and a performance on Sunday morning too. You can get tickets at 10,000 Villages at Commercial Drive and William, or Davy Market at 1719 Davy Street. It's $12 for children and $15 for adults. And you can also call 873-8520 to reserve tickets.
Red Eye is produced by an independent media collective and airs on Vancouver Cooperative Radio. You can hear the program from 9 until noon Pacific Time, streaming live at cooperadio.org.